Diary, July 1903. July 5th to 31st, 1903. July 5th, 1903. St. Helena. I thank the Lord for his care over me, and I am determined to keep my heart and my mind in the love of God. We shall leave St. Helena today for Healdsburg. Have much to do in writing, to go as soon as possible to Battle Creek. W.C. White received a message from Elder Daniels to be in Battle Creek as soon as possible. Important decisions are to be made. He answered back he was unwilling to go. His work here was important. The answer came back that he must come. He is on his way. We left St. Helena at 3:30, and a strong wind came up, blowing the dust in our faces. This wind surprised us. It was so cold, as if it came from mountains covered with snow. We made no provisions for such a change. Doris Robinson was the least prepared. We were all somewhat chilled. Doris left the carriage for Brother Baker to drive, and he ran a long ways before us. We were compelled to walk the horses over that long bridge, and he was far ahead of us when we left the bridge. We arrived at Healdsburg just as it was becoming dark. We found Brother and Sister Jones at Brother Mills, enjoying a visit with them. But they accommodated us, and we were glad to have a warm room and hot water to drink. We had a very profitable visit. I conversed with them upon the importance of all taking special pains to help one another, to encourage each other with cheerful words, and to put away all complaining and fault-finding. Satan is working to discourage. July 6, 1903. Healdsburg. We had a most precious interview last evening. We all decided we should be true and helpful to one another. We must not help the enemy in his work to discourage and place barriers in the way of each other and to demerit others, for this will displease God. Satan will make use of us if we will be used. We have a service to do for the Master, and we must do that service uncomplainingly. It is our duty to let cheerfulness come into our hearts, and to be thankful that Christ has made us his purchased possession. We are to be filled with gladness and joy, and it is becoming for us to express our gratitude. July 6, 1903. Healdsburg. The stockholders of the school meet at 9:00. I could not sleep past 3:00. And I wrote several pages while others were sleeping. Letters had to be written. I dared not delay. The warning must be given in reference to the high position the church should occupy as Christians. There is danger of drawing apart and not answering the prayer of Christ in John 17. This whole chapter is a prayer to his Father, for his disciples, as he was about to leave them and go to his Father. This was the finishing of his ministry with them, prior to his betrayal, his trial in the judgment hall, his crucifixion, his burial in Joseph's tomb, his resurrection, and his proclaiming over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. Will we take this instructive prayer, and will we in all our perplexities be sanctified? He said, "I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." John 17, verse 19. Will we make such an application of the truth that we shall be sanctified through belief of the truth? We can never, never glorify God in serving mammon. Christ would have us, all there is of us, if we will do his will. At 9:00 we went to the board meeting, and I had something to say in regard to the presentation of physical labor. Shall these industries be discouraged because the labors in these lines were more consuming than producing? Shall we talk discouragement? Some will talk strange things, and their mind will be, "Better give it up." But no, I say no. The Lord can turn this defeat into a victory if it is treated the right way. Let there be every effort possible to make this a victory. For it is God's will that the industries shall be continued. How much good has it done for the workers to be united in their labor? How much benefit has it been to their bodies and their souls? The records in the books of heaven may show again. I had conversation with Professor Giddings in reference to how the schools should be conducted. I conversed with him 1 hour. He has been the preceptor of the school in Los Angeles. I repeated this, July 7th, before members of the board. It will be written out from reports. July 7th, Healdsburg, California. The board met and I had 1 hour's talk with them. Had some conversation with Brother and Sister McClure in reference to sale of my place in Healdsburg. I want to dispose of it. This day in the morning hours, I wrote many pages in reference to our position for this time. I have much more to write upon this subject, the Christian influence of the Church. What it should be in making special efforts to visit and talk with unbelievers and pray with them. July 15th, 1903.
I am very grateful to our Heavenly Father for the strength He has given me. My mind seems clear. The light given me upon the Scriptures seems so clear and encouraging. I read the writings of the Apostle Paul with great interest. The Apostle was in a vision taken up to heaven, and he saw many things that it was not lawful for a man to utter. But all his writings, his letters, his admonitions, his appeals have heavenly complexion. The sure word of prophecy is brought into all his instructions. July 16th, 1903. I thank the Lord that, however weak I am, He gives me strength when before the people. I am often surprised, and this is my comfort, for I know I could not do the work I have done unless the Lord strengthened me and gave me words to speak to the large crowds. I know better than anyone else how much I suffer at times with physical infirmities, but I will talk as little about these depressing things as possible. I long to speak to large congregations, knowing that the message is not of myself, but that which the Lord impresses upon my mind to utter. I am never left alone when I stand before the people with a message. When before the people, there seem to be presented before me the most precious things of the gospel, and I participate in the gospel message and feed upon the word as much as any of the hearers. The sermons do me good, for I have new representations every time I open my lips to speak to the people. I can never doubt my mission, for I am a participant in the privileges and am nourished and vivified, knowing that I am called unto the grace of Christ. Every time I set forth the truth to the people and call their attention to eternal life which Christ has made possible for us to obtain, I am as much benefited as they, with most gracious discoveries of the grace and love and the power of God in behalf of His people, in justification and reconciliation with God. The Lord Jesus has, by the expense of His precious blood, freely bestowed upon all the blessed advantages they enjoy. I am sure every soul who will receive grace to impart will realize in his own experience grace for grace. We want to let the life of Christ shine in us, that we may let grace for grace shine unto others. We need not be destitute of the grace of Christ if we will communicate to others the blessings we have received. In working out our own salvation, we are becoming strengthened, settled, confirmed in the faith. I have every reason to be grateful to my Heavenly Father that He has prolonged my life until next November. I thank the Lord this day for the blessings I have received. We should dwell much more upon the blessed privileges we enjoy in the gospel. We are children of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. John 1, verse 12. July 19, 1903. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. I thank the Lord this morning that I have slept well through the night. My heart has been disturbed as scenes have been presented before me of a character I must write. I will scratch them off upon paper and then transfer the things that I think deeply upon to my diary. I have some things I will write here. Personal testimonies follow. July 30th, 1903. I could not sleep after 12 o'clock. I am passing through scenes I can scarcely endure to consider. There were assemblies I was in, and I was hearing the words spoken by men who are in responsible positions. And there were angels present, unseen by them. July 31, 1903. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. We are preparing some things which have been urged upon my mind. I am not able to sleep as many hours as I would be pleased to sleep, yet the Lord sustains me in a most wonderful manner. There is a work to be done for souls in Battle Creek and in many other places. Great light has been shining forth in Battle Creek. The Lord has presented to me, before I consented to go to Battle Creek, that it was His will that many who had not known me should become acquainted with the messages God has been giving to His people. And then, after that meeting, I was instructed that those who attended that meeting would not have any greater evidence of the genuineness of the messages that the Lord gave His humble servant to bear than they had during those meetings. Those who did not humble their hearts before God and accept the light given would go into greater darkness, losing their discernment of the true evidence of the truth and the grace and work of God. If they would not accept of the light and turn from their unbelief and darkness and correct their wrong course of action, which had been a great injury to the work and cause of God, then greater blindness would come upon them, that greater light would not be recognized as light, and they would not be corrected. They would follow their own course to their own ruin. Now the Lord has many precious souls in Battle Creek. He bears long with the wicked works of men, but the influence of the leaven of evil will strengthen and exert its absorbing power until the whole mass, one here and one there, is leavened. And in July 1903, still there are messages given to many who may be benefited if they will not fight against God to have their own wicked way, but will humble their hearts before Him. I have written all of 20 pages day after day, some to come before the church, some to come to special individuals and families, and much in regard to our institutions that have become spoiled through irreligious sentiments and by the abundant expression of unbelief in the testimonies God has given. Faith has been waning, and unbelief strengthening continually, by jots and titles, until there is no way or means that the Lord has that will reach them. They have closed the door, that heavenly communications shall not enter their minds and effect reforms in their characters, reforms and reconversions that their very minds and sinful hearts despise. Therefore they choose their own delusions and bring upon themselves the sure result. And the Lord beholds that goodness, compassion, mercy, and love to God and their neighbors are articles of commerce they have forgotten how to deal in justice and equity. They have educated the negative until the Lord says the negative of the graces of the Holy Spirit you shall have, with all their consequences, unless you repent. There are those who are choosing the evil and educating themselves in character little by little until the taste and habits are gradually corrupted, that their own human defects remain in them unchanged. They would none of the Lord's reproofs. They found some expressions they could interpret and explain in their own way, and sow the seeds of doubt until this was their food. Unbelief spiced everything that they should have received as truth. But the messages will come to the churches, because there are precious souls deceived and still being deceived by their deceptive course of action. Daniel 11, verse 32-33. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil, many days.